I am delighted to be joined on the line by singer-songwriter Sarah McQuaid. Now, I have been playing out Sarah's track, which is called Last Song, and we will talk about that in a while. But she's about to embark on a 21 UK-wide tour from October through to November to promote her brand new album. So it's a really good morning to you. How are you?
Very well, Michelle. Thank you so much.
I really fell in love with your voice and that track called Last Song. It was on our mutual friend Neil March, which is Trust the Doc. Yeah. And I heard it on there and I went, oh, I want that on my show. Where did you start getting involved in music or getting interested? Was it something you did as a child?
Oh, yeah. I mean, way back, as far back as I can possibly remember, you know, all my earliest memories are, you know, lying in bed when I was tiny, and my mother would sit and play her guitar and sing in the next room, and I'd call out requests to her, which is kind of what Last Song is all about. You know, and then revisiting that from the point of view of a mother with my own kids. But I think I was about 3 when I started playing piano, and then took up the guitar a bit later when I was kind of big enough to hold it. And when I was 6 or 7 years old, I started singing with the Chicago Children's Choir, which was, you know, a fairly pro, you know, touring choir that made albums and things like that, and toured all around the U.S. and even into Canada. So it was a pretty early start.
And it's amazing having a mother, because, you know, it's to have music in the family as well. So was that something, was your mum always out gigging, was it something of a hobby for your mum?
Oh, it was totally a hobby for her. She never did music professionally. I have other members of my family do music professionally. People like my uncle writes musicals, musical theater, and has won awards for his musicals. Another of my cousins works with orchestras. He used to be musical education director of the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. Now he's in Rhode Island teaching there at a university. Another cousin is an indie rocker who tours with a couple of different indie rock bands, the Swirlies, and his own band, Mice Parade. And he was quite big when he was younger. He did a John Peel session when he was only 16 years old, my cousin Adam. So lots of music of all different genres in the family.
And when did you discover your voice?
Well, you know, I started writing songs almost as soon as I started singing. I mean, I think my first song, I was maybe 7 or 8 when I wrote it. It was terrible, you know. It was a song you'd expect a 7 or 8-year-old to write, you know. And as I got into secondary school, I kept writing songs which I'm sure were equally terrible, you know. And I'd get up and sing and play at school assemblies. So I guess, you know, I was always kind of singing and performing and so on, and then got into performing with bands. But as far as, you know, when you say discover my voice, I think I don't think I really became confident in my own singing and my own voice until I moved to Cornwall and met Zoe, a former pop star of Sunshine on a Rainy Day fame. Yes. Had this massive hit when she was very young in 1991.
Yeah,
played it
yesterday.
Then she and I made an album together of songs that we had co-written, and it was writing with Zoe, and you know, and I did a little bit of performing with her as well. And you know, when you're up performing with somebody who's been on Top of the Pops and they actually want to work with you, that's when you finally think, yeah, actually maybe you know, maybe this is something that I can do and should do. Because prior to that, I mean, it took me a long, long time to get up the confidence to give up the day job and just focus on music.
Now, let's talk about songwriting. All songwriters are different. Is it different for you every time? Do you suddenly wake up in the middle of the night and go, oh, that's a lyric or that's a melody? Or do you have to sit down and really concentrate? Or is it just different every time?
It's pretty much different every time. What used to happen is that I didn't used to write very many songs, because I used to get an idea for a song, and then if I didn't sit down and write the song then and there, I'd forget all about it. And if I did write it, you know, it would last. But as I got older, and you know, after, by the time I was kind of touring with my own albums, I got in the habit of jotting down song ideas. But then what I found is that if I just jotted down an idea for a song, and it could be either a bit of a guitar riff or a melodic idea that I would just hum into the voice memos on my phone, or it could be a couple of lyrics that I'd write down in the notepad on my phone. And I found if I just jotted down that rough idea for a song, no matter how vague and brief, it would kind of gestate. Do you know what I mean? It would kind of, I just by leaving it there and sitting on it and letting it spin around in the back of my head, when I actually came back to sit down and write the song, it would be a much better song than if I'd sat down and started trying to write it then and there. So that's kind of become my working method. I nearly kind of avoid finishing songs unless I'm ready to put an album together, and then I get out all my song ideas and sit down with them and think, okay, what am I going to work on?
Now, it's been for most musicians and for everybody else, but in the entertainment business, obviously COVID has been, you know, everything was locked down, nobody could make any money. It was a very difficult time for the entertainment business, and now it's all coming back with gigs. And you have got, starting on this Friday is your first gig?
This Friday. It's the album launch gig, and it's in the venue where the album was recorded, which is pretty amazing.
Tell us the title of the album.
The album is called The St. Burien Sessions, and it was recorded in St. Burien Church, just up the road from me in West Cornwall, recorded as live without an audience during lockdown. With a film crew, so you can see videos from the whole recording and filming process on YouTube. And there is a full concert film, which I haven't quite figured out what to do with yet. But, this is the first time I've ever, A, launched an album on its release day, which is pretty amazing right there. And then also to be able to actually launch the album with the gig in the place where it was recorded is totally amazing to me, and I'm really looking forward to it. And then I go off on tour all around the UK, from Penzance to Aberdeen and from Wales to Norfolk. Right the length and breadth of the country.
Oh, that is amazing. 21 dates you've got. That's going to be fantastic, just in case you forgot. I was going to say, with the album, was it written during lockdown, a lot of these tunes? And have they got a theme around them?
No, it was written, the songs on the album date back to my entire career, right back to the very first album onward. Because what I found is that a lot of the songs that I had written had kind of grown and developed since I'd originally recorded them. And some of them, you know, some of them were quite different from their original versions. And also, because I always perform solo, you know, a lot of the songs were quite different in live performance with me performing them solo than they would have been on their original recordings with guests and so on the albums. So I'd been wanting for a long time, even before COVID and lockdown, I'd been thinking, right, the next album I make, I want it to be a live album, and I want to go back to a lot of this earlier material and record it as I do it live, you know, so people can actually, you know, bring home a CD that's more similar to what they hear in concert. And then COVID hit, and I couldn't do it live with an audience, but I thought, well, let's go ahead. It was actually my wonderful manager and sound engineer, Martin, who had the idea that we could just go ahead and record an album as live, but without an audience, and that because we didn't have an audience, we could bring a film crew in and have them get right up in my face with cameras and, you know, rolling cameras around on track and moving them around the place and so on. And we could do all that because we wouldn't be aggravating an audience. So it kind of became the best of both worlds. And there's also a couple of songs on it that are covers that I haven't recorded previously. There's a cover of the wonderful jazz standard, Autumn Leaves, and there's a cover of a beautiful song by Michael Chapman, who produced my previous album and who sadly left us recently. But obviously I didn't know that when I decided to record his song, and I was really looking forward to being able to hand him a copy of the CD with his song on it, but I can't do that now. But I'm very glad that I did record the song, and it's called Rabbit Hills, and it's beautiful. And then lots of my own songs as well.
Now, the track we're going to end on is called Last Song, but before we talk about that, if people want to find out more about you, you're easily on all social media, because you're there everywhere.
Yeah, the website is the place to go initially, because there's links on there to all the social media and to the tour dates and the shop and everything. And that is sarahmcquaid.com, SarahMcQuaid.com. And then you can go from there to find me on Spotify and iTunes and Facebook and Twitter and all the rest.
Yeah, all the rest of the stuff all musicians have to have now.
Yeah, I'm terrible at keeping up with it, but I do my best.
I do it for the radio show. It says just you're on the phone all the time, sort of just posting like pictures of my food normally is what I do. Now, the last that I've been playing, the last song, which I said I heard on Trust the Doc show, which is Neil March, who is a great supporter of new music, all types of music as well. And I was just... And the thing is, this is a long song. Normally when I say to people about sending songs, that's a radio edit, maybe 3:20 or something. But this song, you need to listen to the whole of it. There isn't a point where you think, I don't want to hear the rest of it, which is really unusual because the song's just over 6 minutes. So tell us about the story behind this song.
Yeah, it's quite an early song of mine. I wrote it way back in 2008, not long after my mother died, and my kids were really small at the time, and I used to try and fit in some guitar practice by just sitting outside their room and playing after I'd put them to bed, and then I could kind of keep an eye on them and make sure they didn't get out of bed and fit in some guitar practice at the same time. And one time they were making a lot of noise, and I said, "Are you still awake?" And it was one of those moments where you open your mouth and out of it comes the voice of your mother, or maybe for minutes their father's, I don't know. But I heard her voice coming out of my mouth, and I was just catapulted right back to when I was little and she used to sit and play her guitar outside my room. And I felt like I had to write a song about it. And it's kind of become quite a special song for me. It's one that a lot of people request at concerts, and I tend to finish concerts with it. So I wanted to finish this new album with it. So it's the last song on the album. And yeah, that's about all I can say about it. But thank you so much, Michelle, for having me on the program, by the way.
And I do have to say, Billy Brown, who has said he wants to say hi to you.
Hi, Billy.
Hi, Billy. Yes, I know he's listening out there, and he did send me a message earlier to make sure I told you that. So it's great to speak to you. Hopefully one day we'll be able to get you in the studio live. It'd be lovely to have you play live in the studio, maybe next year, if we're lucky.
That would be amazing.
And this is your song. This is Sarah McQuaid. This is called Last Song, and do check out all the sarahmcquaid.com, where you'll find all the links to the social media and also her new album. And if you'd like to go along and see her on one of her tour dates, which is starting from tomorrow. Thanks very much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Michelle.
All right, you take care. Thanks, Sarah.
You too.
Bye.
Door cracked open, and I'd watch the thread.